Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Are you at all concerned that Seiya Suzuki's right oblique strain that landed him on the 10-day IL could impact his MVP chances? Was Suzuki doing that well in a great start of the season? Are you concerned because Suzuki missed 6 weeks when he suffered an oblique strain last spring?
Yeah, that was a left oblique strain, so it's a different oblique strain. I don't know enough about the oblique strains, but that does not sound good, and it kind of came out of nowhere. And here's hoping that we're not comparing apples to oranges, and that this, I think that was a moderate oblique strain. This one, hopefully, is less severe, and he's back a lot quicker. He's been great. I have a buddy who went to Vegas recently and put an MVP bet on him, and he was crestfallen. So I don't blame him. He's been fantastic to start the season, and he looked like he was playing as well as anybody on the team. So that's a drag. That's tough stuff. But that is also baseball, next man up mentality. You know, let's hope it's 10 days and he's back and that this is not a long-term deal. But it's weird that it's an oblique 2 years running. That's not good. That's not a great sign.
So we're going to blame Mully's buddy for this injury, putting the curse on Seiya by going out to Las Vegas and putting that MVP.
I thought it was a heady move.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
He got it at 61 and dropped to 50.
If Michael Bush is considered a rookie, the heady move might have been voting for, you know, putting money down on Michael Bush.
He's a rookie.
No, he's not.
He's a rookie.
We had this guy. No, he's not a rookie. Okay, he played in the major leagues last year. He's not a rookie. Okay, he's not a rookie, David. He had at-bats at the big league level. He's not a rookie.
How many?
I don't care.
I'm checking.
Shota Imanaga is not a rookie. He had a career in Japan before he came here. He's not a rookie. And these are Cubs players, okay, that could win hardware. We could get into that later if you'd like, and I would like to. I defend my position. I'm stand on that hill alone if I have to. For right now, especially considering the Cubs won last night against one of the best pitchers in baseball, I'm going to, okay, hey, listen, everybody needs a day off. Seiya's going to get 10 of them. If he can come back after 10, you know, let me know when he gets another 5 days or 10 days on this thing, then I'll hit the panic button. Right now I'm going to say, okay, but does it affect his MVP? Maybe not, because he started so well. I mean, he could still be there.
He's not winning MVP. I mean, he might be the Cubs MVP, but.
Oh boy, here we go.
I just don't think he's.
There is a difference, David.
There's a
Cubs MVP and there is a National League MVP.
Kind of gets off track. Look, he
twice.
What is it with these injuries? And the big ones in town have been what in football would be described as non-contact injuries.
Yeah.
Final at bat against the Mariners, Seiya feels something running to first base, and all of a sudden, now we have news that it is an oblique on the right side, after last year's left side. Shelved him for 6 weeks. Cubs can't afford to lose him for 6 weeks. I know Michael Bush is stepping up. I know Alex Canario is here to sit on the bench some more. Every notice, whenever he comes up, all he does is sit. It's like, is he going to play? Can the young man bat? Give him a bat. Put him in the lineup. Let's see what he's got, because the Cubs need to do something without Seiya for the next, I think it might be more than 10 days. How often do you see an oblique strain get better in 10 days? That's just a good start to what we might look at as a couple weeks. Cubs have had some injury issues, and they have the quality depth to overcome them. But Steele, Tyone, Merriweather, now Seiya Suzuki, ouch, this one hurts. But they do have depth. They do have Tauchman. They do have Cooper. They do have Canario. Let's see Craig Counsell do more with less, the way that he is paid to do.
Wow, that's a great question.
There's a fly ball, deep right center. This ball's back toward the wall. He's done it again. Michael Busch has tied a Cubs record by homering in his fifth consecutive game. Way out near the 413 sign in deep right center. It took one bounce and I believe landed in that swimming pool that they have out beyond the barrier in right center. What a story this is turning out to be.
That's how it sounded last night on 670 The Score. The Hall of Famer Pat Hughes with the call. Is Michael Busch's power surge sustainable? He's joined a group of Cubs, including Ryne Sandberg, Hack Wilson, Christopher Morel, Sammy Sosa, to hit home runs in five straight games.
Quite a splash indeed, Pat Hughes. Thank you very much for that. Great highlight, great start. Rookie Michael Busch has done everything that you hoped he could do and exceeded expectations already. I wonder how the league will adjust to him. I wonder how he'll adjust to the adjustments. And that's always a concern when you have a rookie playing a key position and you have a rookie in the lineup off to some early success, because this rookie is really hammering pitching. And thank goodness for the Cubs, because he looks like a natural. He looks like a guy that has more than the 27 games experience with the Dodgers he came to Chicago with. Not enough to qualify him as a rookie in 2023. So thank goodness for the Cubs. This rookie is making history.
Wonder what the skipper thinks of that rookie rule while we're overemphasizing things that people dislike on this show. Is it sustainable? Why not? Are they gonna start walking the guy? Is he getting protection behind him? Listen, keep throwing him. So he has been awfully good, really making Jed and Carter look awfully smart at this moment, because I'll tell you what, without Michael Busch, this team that has 10 wins right now, it may be 500 without Michael Busch. Maybe. Might be below 500. He has provided all of the offense. They are living, the Cubs right now are living and dying with the long ball. And it's a pretty prestigious group in Cubs lore that he has joined.
He has been remarkably consistent in his at-bats. He's been very consistent. He looks good in his at-bats, and he was the minor league player of the year for L.A. a year ago, sporadic trips to the big leagues, but not, I don't think, enough to count as a rookie. So he is a 26-year-old rookie this year and a guy that has had a ton of success already in baseball, not at the major league level. But if you look at it, the numbers he put up, it's pretty extraordinary. And there just isn't a place for him with the Dodgers, right? They've got a first baseman. They've got a DH because they signed the most expensive contract in baseball. And the Cubs swoop in and get a guy that is a perfect fit for what they need. They needed a power first baseman. They got it. And the guy has been great. Five straight games with a home run. I mean, if that doesn't speak to consistency, then what does? Can he keep it up? His swing looks consistent enough for it to keep up. I'm sure, like every player, there are going to be some ups and downs. But I like the rapport he's got with the manager. I like the way they look at him as a player. And I think that he's establishing himself as we speak right now.
I'm not going to take any questions.
What did you make of Nick Nastrini's first MLB start for the White Sox? How do you like Jonathan Cannon starting on Tuesday? That's today. Is Chris Flexen moving out of that White Sox starting rotation?
Yeah, I believe Chris Flexen, we heard for the first time. I mean, and I don't think anyone knows Chris Flexen, nor cares as to whether or not he's going to remain in the starting lineup. But I read that Nick Nastrini coming up last night is the youngest player on the team at age 24. Really? Well, until tonight, because Jonathan Cannon is 23. So, you know, at least they're going to have some youngish pitchers. There does seem to be, you know, Nastrini would have been their fifth starter out of spring training, but he got ill. And then he went to Charlotte for a couple of games, had a really rough outing, had two bad outings, frankly, in Charlotte. But one, he just didn't look the part. The second one, Charlotte is like this bandbox little stadium, and you give up home runs. And I think he had like a 7.70 ERA when they brought him up to start. And they trusted what they saw in spring training. They felt that he and Garrett Crochet were the best of their rotation. So that's... Yeah, I thought he did great last night. I love seeing his family there. I think that's always cool when you are nasty and your family's in the stands. So good for him. You know, again, you get no run support because it's a White Sox, so that's kind of a drag. But it'll be fun to see Jonathan Cannon, too. They just got to start making some moves so you feel like they have a future. Right now, they got a bunch of kind of middle-aged baseball players going nowhere. This is one of the worst teams ever assembled. I don't know what the thought process was behind it.
So Nick Nastrini, a rookie. Jonathan Cannon, a rookie. Nastrini looked good until he didn't, right? He probably got left in one rotation too long, but that's okay. Like these guys need to develop. They're not going for rookie of the year. Jonathan Cannon, sure, it's a reason to, you know, it's a reason to tune in. If you're looking for a reason to watch the White Sox, You want to see if they can develop, right? Another big thing around the White Sox. Can they develop anybody? Can Chris Getz develop people that other people drafted? A topic that we'll get into later. So those are reasons. Chris Flexen, okay, so if he's not in the rotation, does he go to the bullpen? Probably.
That's what they say.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not exactly waiting with bated breath either to find out. I mean, I think that when you talk about whether the Sox go to a five-man rotation or six-man rotation, that's not exactly the most riveting debate, because I love Nastrini. Go to six. Get them all experience. Get as much experience. Bring up Drew Thorpe. I'm ready. Drew Thorpe would be great. What do the Sox have to lose? They're 2-14. They could win 10 in a row.
Can they hit?
Exactly. 10 in a row and still be below 500. By two games. This is the worst. We'll get to the offense in a moment, but this is the worst start in franchise history. If they go five-man rotation, if they go four-man rotation, if they go seven-man rotation. I found it amusing watching last night, as little that I did. Michael Kopech was warming up, and they had a discussion, Steve Stone and John Schifrin, about Michael Kopech's role. And he was referred to as the potential closer. And Steve made a good comment about how you kind of need a lead before you have to close anything. Get a lead. Who's pitching is kind of immaterial because they can't score a run. But I was happy for Nick Nastrini. He did handle things post-game. I liked hearing him talk about his family being there. And the Sox need to climb out of this hole. And I guess the best way to do that would be with young pitching. So I'm ready to see the other young guys. Thorpe, Cannon, Nastrini. Let's see him.
You know, that's a question. That question is for each individual fan.
With Eloy Jimenez activated off the injured list and Moncada and Luis Robert Jr. both getting positive injury updates from Chris Getz over the weekend, will those three guys be back on the field together before this season is over? Do positive updates on long-term injuries do a thing for you?
Well, they only tell me when the Sox will be in a position to potentially have serious trade conversations with any of the three, because you're not going to be able to trade an injured player. And whether or not you trade Luis Robert or not, that's going to be a season-long debate. You might want to keep somebody that at least gives you some semblance of a major league lineup. But Eloy Jimenez, Yoan Moncada, they need to get healthy enough to be dealt. I don't know if that's realistic or not. I don't have any confidence that all three will be together on the same field. Without them, though, This is a minor league lineup. This is one of the worst major leagues lineups in recent memory and history. This is the only team since the 1907 team from Brooklyn. The Super Baz, is that what they are?
I was trying to figure out how to pronounce that.
I don't know
name.
Either. Super Bad, but yeah. I don't know about Super Baz. But since 1907, that they have been shut out six times in the first 16 games.
Was McLovin on that team?
I don't know. Can we get Bruce on? Because he was probably covering
he
that
covered
team.
Covered it.
Yeah.
Here's what I don't get. You activated Aloy, and then you didn't use him until the bottom of the ninth.
Don't get that.
Is he ready to play or not? Because if he's ready to play, I don't care about the, you know, the metrics and the this and the that and the Gavin Sheets this and that. Get him in the game. Like, you know, to your point about trading him, he's got to show that he can stay healthy. He's got to show that he can hit. He doesn't have the luxury of being, I only face X kind of pitchers. Okay? Get him out there or wait till today. I mean, if you're going to use him, use him. I mean, sure, I hope for White Sox fans' sake that those three guys get back on the field together, but I don't see it happening. I don't see why Yoan Moncada would come back this year. I don't see anything positive for him by coming back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Look, it's nice to get updates on guys. It's nice to hear the general manager tell you that, Luis Robert is going to be closer to 6 weeks than 8 weeks. And, you know, the 3 to 6 months on Moncada, well, you know, it'll be closer to the 3 months. I mean, are you kidding me? That means nothing to me. That does nothing for me. I can't imagine them all being back. I can't imagine seeing Moncada again. Listen, they miss him, okay? Because the one thing that they were going to do, they were going to be able to play defense this year. You remember that? They were going to be stronger up the middle. They were going to play better defense. Well, that's part of the real problem with this team. They don't do anything well. They're kicking the ball around, and they don't have any kind of decent hitting to even speak of. We knew they weren't going to hit. We knew they got a bunch of slappy hitters in here, and it wasn't going to work. But we thought that they were going to win different and they were going to look better and they were going to be fundamentally fast and all that nonsense. None of it is true. They're real slow in what they do. They're real bad at what they do. They can't do anything well. They miss Yoan Moncada's defense at third base. Boy, do they miss Luis Robert. I don't want to be too mean to Dominic Fletcher because I know I'm used to watching a 6'2 guy take like 4 steps and catch everything, and now I'm seeing a 5'7 guy take like 15 steps and knock a ball over the top of the wall. So I got to calm down with that. But that's the worst part of it. They don't do anything well. I thought they were giving up offense for defense. They gave up offense for nothing. They're awful.
It's a good question.
All right. Do you believe the Bears can make a surprise move in the upcoming NFL draft? If they did, what would it consist of? A trade up, a trade down, using a pick on anyone other than a wide receiver, offensive tackle, or edge with their second first round pick?
Yeah, I don't know what a real surprise looks like. I get it. There seems to be a lot of increased chatter about the Bears needing more, got to get more. If that's the case, then they shouldn't have made all those trades. If they feel now like they gave away too much and they're going to ruin their first two picks, then they blew it. They blew it before the thing starts. I've said this to you before. Is it asking so much to take advantage, to take the gimme? Take the best quarterback in the draft. Take the best player on the board, number 9. If it's a receiver, then grab that player. If it's as good a play, if it's a somehow Malik Nabers falls, if somehow it's Roma Dunze, take that guy and run like a thief in the night. Take the freebie. The idea of now trying to trade down and you know, honestly, the only real surprise would be if they traded up, if they gave up a second-round pick next year and somehow managed to move up and get Marvin Harrison Jr., which has been mentioned in different places. It's kind of an insane thought. But if something like that happened, it would be a surprise. Or if they were to sort of just take what is welcome and available to them and just try to hold their water a little bit. That would now be a little bit of a shock at this point, because it seems increasingly as if they've decided they've got to trade down.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of trading down at all. Not even a little tiny bit. I don't get the players, get them now, get the guys that can dominate on Sundays or Thursdays or Saturdays or even Fridays now in the NFL, or Wednesdays. They're going to play 3 games on Christmas. It's a Wednesday this year. Anyway, the craziest thing would be something that Mully just mentioned. 2 parts. And it goes back to Maserati Marv. Okay. Trading up to go get Maserati Marv at either 4th or 5th, or something I saw yesterday out there in the Twitter world, that there's a rumor floating around that part of the reason Marvin Harrison has been so coy during this whole process is that he wants teams to pass on him to somehow get down to 9 and be a Chicago Bear. Look at Mully on Twitch and David biting his lip on Twitch. So that's out there, that he is acting this way. And if Brad Biggs' mock 3.0 is right, he's got 2 wide receivers sitting there at 3. David, I mean, you got to be watching Twitch. If you're not watching Twitch, you're making a mistake, okay? Watch us on Twitch.
We'll talk to Biggsy about 3.0.
Okay? Other part.
We're going to talk to Biggsy.
When we talk to Biggsy, Biggsy trades down, and he has the Bears drafting what most are saying is the 3rd or 4th best offensive tackle. If you're going to trade down and you're going to go O-line, in my opinion, you should then take the best center on the board, and that is Jackson Powers Johnson, who could play this position for a decade.
At 9?
That's way too high.
Not at 9.
Where?
Trading, if you're trading down, I said, if you're following Brad's...
Okay, so at 12?
Sure.
Oh, boy.
Not the 3rd tackle. Time's or the 4th tackle.
Center at 12 is ridiculous. I think when you look at the way that they could shock the world is if they move up to 4 or 5 for Marvin Harrison Jr. And I think that's not as absurd as it sounds. If you have quarterbacks off the board and you're willing to give up your number 1 in 2025, it's a tall order. It's a high price. It also might be the boldest thing you could do. It might be the best thing you could do. If he's still on the board, it's going to be tempting to ignore, and it's going to be hard to ignore. That's how you shock the world at the NFL draft, or shock them in the other way. If they're sitting there at 9, everyone's thinking edge rusher, everyone's thinking wide receiver, and they take a defensive tackle. But I don't think that's smart either. Unfortunately, I think the Bears shock the world by either moving up and being bold and aggressive and some would say reckless by giving up draft capital in the future, which I would probably be okay with, or picking a player that maybe you don't expect them to take. Trading down would be super safe, super boring, and I think not the best thing that they could do. It wouldn't necessarily be a surprise, though. So the most surprising thing the Bears could do would be the way they could help themselves with Maserati Marv.
It's a good question.
What did you think of the Sky's draft of Camila Cardoso and Angel Reese, and how much will it affect your interest in this team? Do you think you'll watch more Sky games this season, which starts next month, or Indiana Fever games with the great Caitlin Clark?
Well, I think it's hard to know how many games you'll go to but I'm more likely to go to a game now because of what happened last night. Caitlin Clark will be on national television, 36 of the 40 Fever games. So you might bump into more of her telecast or more of her action. That'll be something I'll watch. I don't really know the answer to that, whether I watch more Sky games or Fever games. It'll probably be very close. But what happened on Monday night was that the Sky took a step back into Chicago sports relevance. And maybe they're taking advantage of the void that exists because there's not a whole lot of relevance to talk about. But I think the Sky, in drafting the two young ladies, Camila Cardoso and Angel Reese, made them a lot more interesting, a lot more compelling, and a lot more competitive. And those are what things you need. So, yes, this was a great draft for the Chicago Sky. You could say the Sky won the draft by getting two players who were rivals in college and now teammates as professionals. And this is going to be a lot of fun to see unfold, and hopefully it will spark a little bit more of interest, renewed interest in the franchise.
So I watched the WNBA pre-draft. I watched the WNBA draft ahead of watching the White Sox game last night. I don't know how anybody's going to get a rebound against the Sky. Seriously. I mean, these girls, there will be no second chance opportunities for another team. If you want to teach your young ladies how to box out and get boards, I mean, watch the Sky. Also, programming note, on Sunday, the 23rd day of June, the Fever will be at the Sky. So over at Wintrust Arena. So that is mark your calendars. And I bet after that draft last night, I think yesterday I saw before the draft, the cheapest ticket for that game was a little over $100 a seat. I bet it's close to $100.50 or $200 now after what the Sky did in that draft. So pretty exciting. Good coverage by the four-letter network of that draft last night. And I think there'll be a lot more eyes and ears on the WNBA this summer.
Yeah, I can't commit to how many games I'm going to go to or if I'll spend a lot of time watching Caitlin Clark on television. I'll tell you this. The next thing on my kind of radar with the WNBA, with women's basketball, is the Olympics. And you know, Caitlin Clark, they had their tryout camp while she was in the Final Four. And they're going to take, 12, 14 players to Paris, and it's believed she'll be one of them. And it was wild. Like, I heard her say, and I haven't heard her talk about this a lot, but she said something along the lines of someone told her that all the people who love you and all the – you're going to get an equal amount of people that don't like you, and you're going to get as much grief as you received. And it seemed almost as if she's preparing for that, because if she's the only collegiate player that's on the Olympic team and it's a dream of hers, and how do you not put her on the Olympic team if you want to draw some viewers, right? If you're a TV network, don't you call USA Basketball and insist on it? So, but that would mean presumably that there's going to be somebody cut from that team that people are not going to be happy about. I don't know, but I am
she's also good enough.
Monitoring and concerned about how well she's accepted and how. And I would repeat yet again, everyone should be aware that she's bringing in tons of eyeballs and tons of fans. And if you really want to grow your league, you take care of her.
She's also good enough to make the Olympic team.
I didn't say she wasn't. Yeah, I was just saying that she didn't have the tryout team.
It would be more than just a TV move, though.
But it should be just for a TV move, if nothing else.
Well, NBC recognizes her marketability. If not, she would not have been on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, boy. She was great on Saturday.
That was funny.
She was very funny. And congratulations to Michael Che, who kind of allowed her to be funny and took one for the team.
At his expense.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
It was good stuff. All right, we've got the extra point next. Mully and Haw on the score.
Maserati Mar.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.